Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Batra Daf Mem Bet Amud Aleph at the fourth Mishnah in the third Perek. Ha'umanin v'ha'shutafin v'ha'arisin v'ha'potropin. As I mentioned, as I noted in the handout, this Mishnah will deal with those classes of people for whom chazakah is unattainable. Uman is a worker, an artisan who's working in the field. Ashutafin are partners. We're going to see that hotly contested. Harisin, sharecroppers. Apotropin, trustees who are taking care of minor orphans' field, estate. And Lam Chazakah. Clearly because they have business being there. Nobody's going to tell them to get off. And then they turn around and say, I've been here 3-4 years. The fact that nobody lodged a protest is not very meaningful. Now, lo le'ish chazakah b'nichsei ishto. A man does not have chazakah vis-a-vis the property of his wife. For the same reason. Parents and children. Now, this entire discussion is only true about chezkat ra'ya b'machzik, meaning if you're holding on to it for a certain amount of time, and we would expect that if somebody else really owned it, they'd come and protest, and therefore your presence is proof. But let's say somebody is giving you a gift and you are using chazakah as the kinyan. Our brothers divided up their property and they said, okay, I'll go work the land on that side, you work the land on this side, and that's how we'll take possession of it. Remember, when a ger dies without relatives, anyone who takes his property, first come, first serve, kinyan, na'al gadar uparatz kol shu arezu chazakah. The minute that he puts up a door, puts up a fence, takes down a fence, does any act of ownership, one step, that's the chazakah already. In other words, the Mishnah is distinguishing between chazkat rayan, chazkat kinyan. All right, now as I mentioned, shutafin is the sort of sore point here in the resha. Avuad Shmuel v'Levi tanus shutafin lo chazakah. So Shmuel's father and Levi, if you remember, came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel after Rebbe had passed away, and after Rabbi Elphas had taken over for Rabbi Hanina, then Levi came to Bavel, and Shmuel's father read the Mishnah the way we read the Mishnah, which is that Shutaf is among those classes of people who cannot have Chazakah, because since you and I are partners in this field, the fact that I'm spending time in the field proves nothing, and the fact that you did not lodge a protest proves nothing about my full ownership. And so they read it that way. V'chol shekein uman, and certainly an uman will not be included. But Shmuel Tani, and evidently most of Shonen learned it this way, that Shmuel had a different gears on our Mishnah, Umayin lo chazakah, vo shutaf yesh lo chazakah. That an artisan who really has no claim on the land whatsoever can't have a chazakah, because his presence there is simply as a worker. But a shutaf, and we'll see some details about this in a little bit, could have a chazakah. Now, v'azda Shmuel Tamei, and Shmuel's being consistent with his reasoning, D'amar Shmuel, Shmuel issued the following dictum, and this dictum is going to carry us through for the rest of this podcast and later on. Hashutafin machzikin zelzeh. Shutafin can obtain a chazakah against each other, meaning if they own property in common and one of them occupies the land for 3 years, that may be a claim of chazakah. Umi'idin zelzeh. They can testify on behalf of each other vis-a-vis that common property. V'nasim shomrei sachar zelzeh. And if they have property they own in common, and one of them is watching it, he can be considered a shomer sachar and then chayiv b'gnei b'aved, etc. Now, Rami le Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Yehuda b'ma'arta deve Rabbi Zakkai. Rabbi Zakkai had, evidently, an underground cavern in his house. And Rabbi Abba approached Rabbi Yehuda at that point, and then that place, and he challenged him. So somehow the Tana remembered that it happened there. Mi'amar Shmuel shutaf yesh lo chazakah. Since when did Shmuel say that a shutaf can be machzik? Amar Shmuel shutaf ki'ad b'shutami. A shutaf, a partner, who is on the other fellow's side of the property, or on the entire property, is considered to be there with permission. Now, being there with permission means there's no reason for the other guy to lodge a protest, which means chazakah is out the window. Lav l'member d'shutaf en l'chazakah? Doesn't that mean the same thing? So he said, lo kasha, ha d'nachid l'kula, ha d'nachid l'palga. It depends. If the shutaf occupies the entire land, that's one story. But if he only occupies part of it, that's a different story. Now, notice I'm not saying what's what, because the Gemara says, Amila Hagisa, Amila Hagisa. In the Beit Midrash, some people took this split and said, yeah, when you're machzik the entire property, then you would say it's a chazaka, because then you're not yored b'rishut. But when you're only machzik half, you would say you're just clarifying which is your half. You could say the opposite. When you're machzik in the entire property, it's clear that you're just there because you're a part owner. But when you take hold of half, it may be that you're claiming that half, and that might be a chazaka. So we don't know which is which, but we know that that might be a viable split. That was Rav Yehuda's answer in that cavern. Ravina Amar, several generations later, Ravina gave another answer. Both cases would be where he sits on the entire land. If this is land which has enough for chalukah, we saw that in the first parak, whether it's Dalat Amot Lezeba Dalat Lezeba Chatser, or Tisha Kabin, or Tisha Chatsei Kabain, Rav Yehuda, in a field, etc., whatever it is, big enough for din chaluka, then if the guy's machzik the entire area, that's a chazaka. But if it ain't bo din chaluka, the fact that he's sitting on the whole thing, which is not all that big to start with, is not a chazaka, because there'd be no reason for the other fellow to lodge a protest. Okay. Gufa. Amar, so we solved the problem with Shmuel between shutaf yeshlo chazaka and shutaf kiror birshut. Alright. Gufa. Amar Shmuel. Shutaf kiror birshut. So in that last statement, Shmuel said that Shutaf is somebody who's there by permission. So my Kamashman, what's he teaching with that statement? Shutafut ein lo chazaka? Is he trying to say that a partner cannot be machzik? So let him Shutaf ein lo chazaka. Let him say it that way. He must be teaching something else. Nachman Ravua Lamar Shinotel B'Shevach Hamagel Ktefayim B'Sadeh She'ena Asuya Lita K'Sadeh Asuya Lita. And it works as follows. Rav Ravua says what Shmuel's teaching by saying Shutaf ki Yor B'Shutah means as follows. Let's start with somebody who's not Yored B'Shut. I go onto somebody else's property without asking the permission, and I go and plant trees there, and I grow the trees, and I harvest the trees, and I get benefit. And now the guy comes to me and says, "What were you doing?" So I said, "Well, I went and I made this stuff happen." I then have to pay him back. What am I able to keep? I'm able to keep the lesser of the shevach or the hotzah, meaning either the profit or what my expenditures were. Whichever is less, I get to keep. The rest goes to him. So when Shmuel says that a shutaf is kiror b'shut, that means that the shutaf gets the full benefit of shevach hamagel ktefayim, meaning if a shutaf, the other partner is an absentee partner, and so this partner is there and he starts planting trees in an area that was unplanted before, and the trees grow and he gets benefit from it, and everything is magiel ktefayim, which means it's already ripe and harvested. He gets that property, besadeh she'inai asuya lita, whether it is a field that's not set aside for planting, and nonetheless he planted trees, kisadeh asuya lita, just like if it were a field that's set up and planted for trees, in either case he gets the full benefit, not the partial benefit, meaning the lesser of shevach hanotzah, which he would get if he was yored shelo b'rishut. Okay, when we eat in Zalzad, the next thing that Shmuel had said in that original dictum was that Shutfim can testify on behalf of each other vis-a-vis that property. Now, Amai, Nogimei Dutanein, how can one testify for the other? He's no gab, because if he testifies this property really belongs to the Shutav, it can't be seized, so he's gaining also. So, Achmai Eskine, Katavli Dunan Dvarmeni Al-Sadezu. That this partner who's now giving testimony had originally written, I'm separating myself from this property, I have no claim on this property. What does it help to write something like that? This is a sugya in the ninth parak of Ketubot. Vatanya omer lachaber din dvarim en li asadezu v'en li esek b'aviyadai misulekatim misulekotimena. If a guy says, I have nothing to do with this property, I don't have any engagement in it, my hands are free of it, I rid myself of it, wash my hands of this, anything like that, lomar klum, that's just not a statement. If you own something, you can't not own it just because you walk away. You not own it because you either declared hefker or you give it to somebody or sell it to somebody. Alright, so therefore, this shutaf saying, I have nothing to do with it, doesn't do anything, he's still no ge'abedut, because he's still going to get a benefit if his testimony goes one way or the other. And therefore, he can't be a witness. So how could Shmuel say he could be a witness? Where the one shutaf who gave up his property, who said edinu dvarim in the al sadezu, then made a kinyan, like a kinyan sudar, with the other partner, giving him all the rights to it. So it wasn't just a statement, there was a kinyan involved. Even that shouldn't help. Why? After all, by you giving up that property, what you're effectively doing is saying, if I have a creditor, he's now going to seize that property, and I'm going to be off the hook, because I've ceded my interest in the property, but now if somebody seizes that property because of a loan that I defaulted on, then I'm off the hook. So I'm definitely have an interest here. So the Amar Avin Bar Shmuel Mishmeri Shmuel Mocher Sadel Chaver Shlo Bachrayut. If you sell a field without a chrayut, Ein Meilu Ala. You can't testify about it. Why? Meshma Midab Befnei Bal Chovo. If I sold you a property and took no liability to back it up in case it gets seized, I can't testify that it's yours or not yours, because if I testify that it really is yours, that it came from me, then my Bal Chovo will seize it from you, and you're going to be out of luck, and I'll be off the hook for the loan. So I have a vested interest. So we have to fine-tune our case even further. This is a case where a guy walked away from the property, but accepted achrayut on it. So achrayut aman, which kind of achrayut? Inem achrayut alma, achrayut that if somebody from the outside seizes it, that's exactly what he wants. Meaning, he gave achrayut to the rest of the world, that if he owes money, they can come and take it. That's exactly what he wants. What it means is the opposite. He accepted achrayut towards the partner who still holds another property. If anything comes because of him, he'll compensate the other partner. In that case, he really has nothing to gain in the seidut, because either way he's going to have to pay his loan, and therefore he can testify. But he has to be out of the picture in order to testify. Okay. But now let's ask the nuts and bolts question. Since when can you walk away from that kind of liability, even if you do it in such a way that you don't have an interest? If you have a city-owned Sefer Torah and the Sefer Torah was stolen, and they caught a guy they think is the thief, the judges of that city cannot be in judgment. And you can't have witnesses or proof provided or evidence provided by people of that city, because, of course, they have a vested interest because they're Sefer Torah. But if you're right that you can walk away from something you own in such a way that you are so impartial you can be a witness, the Salku Beit Reminayu V'lidayinu, let two of them or three of them, however you want to deal with it, separate themselves, say we have no claim on the Sefer Torah, and then they really are impartial, and let them come and sit in judgment. The answer is Shani Sefer Torah L'shmiya Kai. Sefer Torah is different because everybody has to hear the Sefer Torah. So you can't really say I'm walking away from it. You're chayv to hear it. That's the only Sefer Torah they got in town. All right, let's test it further. Toshma ha'omer tnu manel livnei ha'iri. A guy says, here I have money, says, give money to people in my town. And then there's a question about whether it was paid or not. Ein danin b'dayanei ota ha'ir. The judges of that city can't judge him. V'inu ha'yam yanshei ota ha'ir. And people in the city can't bring a testimony. Again, the reason, because they're no gabe edut, because if it turns out the money really has not been paid, they'll get more money. The city will get more money, and they're part of the city. So why don't you have two people say, dinu dvarim ein lanu by ear or something, walk away from any benefit from this, and then sit in judgment as impartial judges? So the answer is, achanam is sefer Torah. When the guy said, I gave him $100 to the city, what he meant was to buy a sefer Torah. And so therefore everybody's invested and you can't walk away from it. Alright, Toshma. Ha'omer tnu manel la'aniyei ha'ir. Now this seems to get around the Sefer Torah problem. Because here a guy said, I'm giving $100 or $100,000, whatever it is, to the poor of the city. There it's clearly a directed gift. And remember, everybody in the city is obligated to take care of the poor. Vatispra, think about it. Aniyim shakli danyanim ifsali? This doesn't make any sense. Why would it be that the money is going to the Anim, and Dayanim, who are not Anim for sure, remember the sugi at the end of Ketubot, would be invalidated? What's the story here? So, so the way that we should read it is, the poor of that city can't be the judges, and the poor of that city cannot be witnesses or bring proof. Alright, so in other words, because they're no gea, because if it turns out that the money is still owed, they're going to get more money. Why don't two of the anim just say, we're not going to get any benefit from this particular gift, and they can be judges, if you're really able to walk away. And we keep hammering away at that idea, implying that you really cannot walk away. The answer is, hachanam b'sefer Torah. So answer number one is, there's also talking about a sefer Torah. And ani al-tayir means everybody. Everybody is a sefer, next to a sefer Torah, relative to a sefer Torah, is called an ani. Now this is great chomer l'drush, and I'm sure many great drushes have been said about this. Simple pshat is, everybody needs the sefer Torah. We're all needy klepei the sefer Torah, therefore we're all anim. Nobody's beyond it and considers it a luxury. That's answer number one. Maybe it really means the poor. This is a case where everybody in the city contributes a certain thing to the anim. These anim are the responsibility of the city. And if it turns out that this money hasn't been paid, more money is going to come in and everybody's tax burden for the anim is going to be lessened. So they're all have an interest. Well, let's think about it. If there's a certain amount that everybody has to give every month or every year in the city, then let the two of the people already pay up front what they have to pay, and then let them sit in judgment because they got nothing to lose, nothing to gain. So it must be a case where the town doesn't run like that, where everybody pays $50 a month at stock or whatever, but rather when there's a need. So if it turns out these guys don't have the need because the money's still going to be coming in, then everybody will be off the hook. And so therefore, we could still argue that you can separate yourself from ownership and therefore become impartial and therefore a valid judge. But in such cases as we had with the Sefer Torah and the second one of the Sefer Torah, and now this case, it's impossible for you to pull yourself out because of your responsibility here to the Kriyas HaTorah, or because of the fact that you have do not have a set amount to give every month, but it's going to depend on the anim. So if it turns out that these guys really deserve the money, or the money's coming, then it's going to change your liability. Okay. The last answer is Leolam the Kitzlo. It could be that everybody does have a set responsibility. And still, it's a benefit to all of the people of the city, because if the anim get more money, then that lightens their general burden. So therefore, there's never going to be a situation where people can say, oh, I'm a member of this town, I'm a leading member of the town, and whether or not these anim are going to get this outside money or not will make no difference to me. That's never true. It will always make a difference, and therefore you cannot be a judge in that case. All right, the last little thing we're going to look at is the end of Shmuel's dictum, V'nasein Shomer Sachar Zelazeh, that Shutfim can become Shomer Sachar for each other. Which means the way we would simply read it is if they own property in common and one of them is watching it, he's a shomer sachar. If something's lost, he owes the other guy half of what was lost, if it's a shutfut. So amai shmir b'vaylumi. If you recall from Avakama, and this is all learned from Shoel, that if a fellow is watching somebody else's property and the owner is with the shomer's pater. Balavinimo shalim shalem. In balavinimo lo yishalem. That's in Shoel, and we apply it to all the Shmirot. So since these guys are partners, each partner is doing Shmir B'Bailim because the other partner is there. And therefore, why should it be Chayiv? How could they become Shomer Sachar to each other? This is a case where they weren't together. One guy said, you know what, I'll watch the flock Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You watch the flock Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so therefore, the Sunday, one guy's there, the other guy's not there, so it's not Shmir B'Bailim. And since Shmuel says we regard them as autonomous, independent, separate people, therefore they can be made to each other, they can be machzik on each other, and therefore they're also considered shomer sachar for each other. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick it up at the top of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.